It's Monday, October 26th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Just got back off the road from the Cypress Hill Smokeout in San Bernardino, California. 15 hours of driving back from sunny Southern California back to the clouds, darkness, and cold of the Pacific Northwest. But it was a great trip, and I'm bringing to you today a very special edition of the Daily Audio Stash. In lieu of our regular hemp headlines and daily toker tunes and other features that we'd be playing on today's stash, today we're giving you a special treat, the entire 45-minute panel with Tommy Chong, B-Real, and Lou Dog from the Cypress Hill Smokeout. Now, this was moderated by Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, and the crowds checking out were absolutely huge. It was a lot of fun, and we're going to bring you that entire presentation right now after our ad from THCF. So thanks, everyone, for downloading the podcast. Enjoy Tommy Chong, B-Real, and Lou Dog from the Cottonmouth Kings.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Basically control my excitement. This panel is one of the greatest panels ever assembled in the history of mankind. Yeah! Not just weed kind, but mankind and womankind. Although it's a bunch of dudes on the panel. Tommy Chong. Musicians, smoke out, speaking out panel, and we're here to speak out about weed. Yeah. We're here to talk about musicians and their relationship with marijuana. Why do they love to smoke so much pot? How has it helped the creation of the great music that we're listening to today? All the music we've listened to throughout all the years. How does marijuana play a role in that? Now, a lot of people here probably don't even know that Tommy Chong was a musician before he was a great comedian and a great actor and a great director. Tommy was in a band called the Vancouvers. It was on Motown Records. Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers. Tommy, tell us a little bit about your life as a musician before you became a comedian.
Well, I was... Is this thing on? I was...
I was a black kid right up until I turned 32. Seriously. And I got turned on the pot when I was 18 years old. A Chinese jazz musician handed me a joint and a Lenny Bruce record. And it changed my life. And actually, pot kept me out of school, got me on the street, got me playing music and for a living, you know. Because logic would have it that you really can't make a living playing music. But when you're stoned on pot, you don't give a shit. And the only thing, you know, that it really does help, it makes your music make sense. You know, you might play it back, you know, if you record when you're stoned, you play it back and then you realize that it really wasn't that great. But then you realize that really the reason it wasn't that great is that you're straight. So the key is to stay stoned whenever you listen to your own music. And that's what I've done.
Did everybody out here seen I'm Sure Up in Smoke and Nice Dreams and Next Movie? Still smoking? Is there a movie that Tommy's not playing guitar in?
No.
He's always playing guitar in those movies. Tommy, tell us about some of those great guitar solos.
Brothers.
Corsican Brothers. Things are...
Yep.
But tell us a little bit about how you incorporated music into your movies and how you're always playing guitar and acid rock solos and why that was so important to be part of your movies.
Well, you can't really... At least I can't enjoy pot unless I got music playing somewhere. You have to have music. Music is the heartbeat of the universe. You know, you have to, it keeps the rhythm. It keeps you real. It keeps everything happening. And it's like a navigational guide. You know where you're at when you hear music. You know, and even if you don't hear music, if you're an old stoner, you will hear music. Even when there's not music to be heard. Like, I've gotten stoned with deaf people. And I actually can't hear music, but you can feel it. And I think that's the other the good thing that what happens to you when you're stoned is that you get into a very universal spiritual world that unlocks all the mysteries of life. Hard to explain to someone that isn't stoned, but again, who gives a shit?
Let's hear it for Tommy Chung. Be real. We know each other a long time, going back to 1991 when you guys came out with your first album that blew up and people started to recognize who Cypress Hill was and were going to be one of the great hip hop groups of all time. Right around that time, you didn't just come out as like a great hip hop group. You came out as a weed promoting marijuana band. You were the spokes group for Normal, or the smokes groups for Normal, and you took a stance at a very early point of your career to decide that this was going to be a big part of what Cypress Hill is about. Tell a little bit of the story of how Cypress Hill came about and why you guys embraced marijuana and decided to make it so much a part of who you are.
Well, let me start off by saying I'm nervous as shit right now to be talking right here with Tommy Chung right here. I'm not high enough. It was one of those things where, you know, growing up out here in Los Angeles, you know, you see High Times magazine a lot. It's in the stands and, you know, reading it as a kid. And then, you know, watching Tommy and Cheech's movies and the things that they would say when they were interviewed in High Times magazine. And a lot of articles, not just the weed. I mean, we all appreciated the weed in the centerfold of High Times. Right? There was also a lot of articles in there that were educating people about the movement, period. And, you know, it was something that just happened for us. You know, we believed in everything that movement was and is now today. And High Times and Cheech and Chong definitely were a part of that influence on us, why we decided to be outspoken like that when nobody else was. You know, you didn't hear it in R&B music. You didn't hear it in rock music that much. I mean, you heard people make reference to it, but we really dived into it. And we just embraced it because, you know, that we were some fucking weed head stoners. But we also believed in the other aspects of it besides recreational, you know, and we decided to take that stance, and a lot of people listened to what we were saying, and you know, we got labeled as just a bunch of weed heads and stuff like that, but people that saw through that knew that we were serious about, you know, the cause and the movement, you know, and that's why we partnered up with Normal many times and partnered up with High Times, and we did many great things together with High Times, that's for sure. The how to roll a blunt issue was
March 1992.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Cover story, Buzz in the Hood.
Yeah, Redman made a song based off of that right there. You know, so the influence just passes on. High Times and Cheech and Chong influenced us. We came and we influenced other people, you know, with the Cottonmouth Kings, Red and Method Man, and they influenced other groups and stuff. It's just a long line that we pass on because we believe in it. And we want to see it legalized, right?
Has marijuana ever been an impediment to the career of Cypress Hill? Did it ever get in the way? Do you ever have problems due to the fact that you guys are such spokespeople for marijuana?
I think, you know, when they haven't met us and they see what Cypress Hill is from afar, you know, yeah, it could be, oh, those are those gangster weed head motherfuckers. We don't want to deal with them. But when you come into contact with this, you know, you change the perception. We change a lot of people's perception on what this is. Like Dr. Drew, for instance, he's a good friend of mine. You all know him from Loveline and Sober House, right, Dr. Drew? When I first made my first appearance on Loveline, you know, he was against legalization. He didn't really, you know, he wasn't for it at all. He thought it was a bad idea. And over the course of time, I kept going over there and presenting an argument to him, but, you know, not arguing with him, just conversating with him about it, telling him all the stuff that he really didn't know about the culture and the movement. And slowly but surely, he changed his opinion of it, and now he's all for the legalization of marijuana.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so
I was not aware of that. When you watch Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab, it doesn't seem like it.
I told him I would do another version of his Sober House. It would be called Stoner House. And I'd be Dr. Green Thumb for sure, right?
All right, moving down the line to Lou Dog. Now, like B just said, yes. You guys came after Cypress. You were where Tommy Chong and Cheech and Chong were an influence on B-Rail and Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill was an influence on the Cottonmouth Kings.
Absolutely.
Now, how did you get involved with the Cottonmouth Kings? Because you weren't an original member, were you? You kind of got up in, like, the next wave?
Yeah, the Cottonmouth Kings were originally three friends getting high and recording some music in a bedroom studio next door to me. Really simple. Of course, the torch has been passed on from Tommy to B. To myself and Cottonmouth Kings.
We were planning to have a smoking panel, right? So here we go.
So the torch has been passed. Thank you.
So Lou, why did the Cottonmouth Kings decide to embrace marijuana the same way that Cypress Hill did? What was the reason behind?
It works.
The plan.
Very simple. It works. It brings us together. It's a unifier. It's a love drug. It's a creative enhancer. It's a sexual enhancer. And it's a sexual enhancer. And I just think we need positive vibes. And I think the ganja brings that. We embrace it. We celebrate it. We're trying to change the world. One show at a time. We're activists on our level. What we do is we play music, we throw a party, people come to the shows, and we are actively celebrating something positive and something good. I want everybody to know, to quote Mr. Ed Rosenthal, my friend. Ed, please stand.
Ed Rosenthal in the house. Give it up. An outspoken activist for co-legalization.
Should be a scene in your next movie, you know, which is gonna like base it around the smoke out.
Yeah.
So what's going on in your career these days? You're on tour with Cheech, you've been on the Light Up America and Canada and around the world tour. What else is going on? You still touring and you have a next movie coming?
We're getting ready to start a new tour in January with a new show, and we're gonna call the tour Get It Legal. Magazine where it said we can have it legal real easy. Obama could do it, and the Attorney General can do it. All they have to do is reschedule pot from a Schedule 1, which says it has no medical value whatsoever, to a Schedule 2, which it is now, which is prescription only. If we can, when they reschedule the drug, our problems, legal problems, will be over. And then that's what we're going to do. The other thing I want to say, you know, because it is a medical issue, and you've got to remember this. The world's greatest athlete, the greatest athlete that America has ever produced, a man that won 8 gold medals, ended up showing the world how healthy marijuana is by smoking it. This is a man that won 8 gold medals by his own pure strength and power and ability. And you know that the marijuana had the biggest influence on keeping him focused on what he was doing. You know that. Because that's what pot does. Pot puts you in the present. Pot makes you... That's why it's so important that we do smoke it medically, all of us. Because it not only helps people with serious diseases, it helps people to keep from getting those serious diseases. One of the reasons we get disease is because our state of mind is so negative that it attracts disease. But if you keep your positive, if you keep your mind positive, and that's one thing about Cheech and Chong, what we've always done, we found out that laughter, it really is the best medicine. It is. Even when I was in jail and when I wasn't stoned, I had more time, there were more times in jail where we could laugh ourselves sick because of our mindset, of the way our minds were. Like, instead of sitting there and worrying about getting fucked in the ass like most people do, we're stoners, man. We kind of, well, maybe look forward to it because, you know, hell is the hell, you know. It's a new experience. We might like it, you know. But that's the difference. It's the attitude that pot changes. It changes your attitude. It's hard to be mad at potheads because, like, road rage for a pothead is really road rage for a pothead is really shrugging their shoulders and going, sorry. Because that's the magic thing about the weed. The weed puts you in a nice state of mind. And that's what we have to always be in order to exist on this universe and to get along with everybody. We have to be in a pot state of mind. So that's all I have. Let's hear it for Tommy Chong!
He's right. I'm very focused right now.
It's kind of like Conan O'Brien says, so much to talk about.
We do have a lot to talk about. Let's talk about the Smokeout. This is an amazing event. Why did you start it? And what's going on this year? Last year there wasn't a Smokeout. Took a year off. You're back. Where's the Smokeout going from here?
Well, you know, we
we did about 5 smokeouts when we initially launched this idea that we had. And we, you know, after the 5th one, we decided to take a break. And we said we'd bring it back when the time was right. Because everything is timing when it comes to music and even in life, period, you know. You hit the pockets of time in the right moments and big things can happen, you know. And here we are, 2009, relaunching the smokeout at a time where we've had medical marijuana right here in the state of California and other states in place to represent our people here who believe that we should have this legal and who don't look at it as a drug, you know what I mean? So this was meant to be a place where we can have a good time listening to good music, obviously, because it is a music festival, but also that we could give information and pass it on about this culture, the smoke out, the marijuana, the pro-legalization culture, you know what I mean? Also there is, you know, and the other thing that I didn't mean to interrupt you is that, you know, in Europe, they throw these festivals and they've been throwing them for, you know, 30 some odd years, like Reading and Leeds and Glastonbury and all their traditional festivals. We're trying to make smoke out that here in California. We want this to be a traditional thing. We grow up with you, your kids grow up with us, and we're going to keep this fucking thing moving as long as we can, as long as you guys want it. Well, the beauty of smoke out is that it embraces all kinds of music. It's not just a hip-hop event, it's a rock event. It feels like, you know, Smoke and Grooves meets Ozfest, you know, today out here in San Bernardino, and a lineup with Slipknot and Deftones, Cypress, Meth, and Red, and, you know, what a combination. What is your concept behind, you know, marrying all these forms of music?
Well, you know, we've been on many festivals throughout the 18 years of you know, our career. We've, you know, from European festivals to the Lollapalooza, the Smoke and Grooves, and other things like that. And we learn from each and every one of them. We learn the right things to do and the wrong things to do in a festival setting. And, you know, we didn't want to just cater to one particular crowd. We wanted to reach everyone. And so, you know, with that mentality, we wanted to reach out to groups like Slipknot that represent that genre of music. We wanted to reach out to Red and Meth who represent hip-hop and all aspects of music. You know, we were going to try to get Willie Nelson for the smoke out this year. But, you know, it was, you know, that's something that we're going to try to do next year. We're going to try to get Willie Nelson to come to the fucking
smoke out goes country.
Yeah. We're going to try to make it different. We're going to try to make it different, all right? And we're going to see what happens. I think Willie Nelson at the smoke out would be a big hit. 1, 2, 3. But that's the thing. We want to give people these different, you know, these different vibes, these different connections. But the one thing we all have in common is this belief in this particular plant, this God-given plant that helps a lot of us in more ways than one. You know, there's a lot of good out of it besides the recreational smoke. I mean, we all feel good. Right? We all feel good. But we all know that beyond that, there's so much more important things that come out of it. And, you know, we want people to learn that as well. So
do we have any Cottonmouth Kings fans in the house? Has anybody ever seen Lou Dog's drum kits? He puts hookahs inside his drum kits and he smokes out of his drum kits. He's truly the smoking drummer. Lou Dog, tell us about your inspiration to make these incredible kits and everything that you do, you know, as far as your role with the Cottonmouth Kings.
Arts and crafts, man. Arts and crafts, a little weed. My drum kits are my bongs. My drum kits are my vaporizers. My drum kits are my pipes. It's a hybrid. And it's THC inspired, straight up. Right on, Lou.
You know, I wanted to get back to Tommy and the idea of advocacy, celebrities standing up for marijuana. Tommy's one of our top celeb stoners at Celeb Stoner, and you can read Tommy's blogs at Celeb Stoner, too. Amazing writer. But, you know, Tommy alluded to going to jail. He went to jail for 9 months for bond sales, interstate bond sales, which really sucked. But it took Tommy a lot of lessons, and Tommy likes to say that before that, he really didn't focus that much on the issue of legalizing marijuana. He was a marijuana celebrity, but, you know, he kind of stayed a little bit in the background, didn't really do that much for Normal and stuff. But lately, you've kind of turned it all around, Tommy. You're doing Normal events, MPP events, Wonders of Cannabis events, all kinds of fun stuff. Tell us a little bit about your conversion, in a sense, to, like, this cause.
Well, you know, I think the reason pot isn't legal now is because it's not really our pothead's nature to go and march anywhere, you know. You know, it's really, I mean, we forget a lot of shit, you know. Like, I'll be supposed to be at some event and I'll be watching on TV and go, oh shit, that's right, I'm supposed to be there. Yeah. So it wasn't that I never wanted to be an advocate. I could just never get around to being an advocate. You know? The time has come, though. It really has come. Because they put me in jail on a technicality. I could have beat it. I could have walked from this charge. Because they had no evidence on me whatsoever. Because I really never committed a crime. What they did, they threatened to put my son in jail. And they threatened to put my wife in jail. And that was the only way they got me to plead guilty, because it was either that or fight the government for the next 10 years, and I didn't feel like doing that. And I also had I was kind of curious about going to jail myself, you know. I kind of looked forward to it. I really did like the underground, the real experience, you know. I got some real good street cred from it. Yeah.
He's OG, man.
Yeah, and it really opened my eyes, and I see why. I could see why the government wants to keep it illegal. Because it really is the only racist law left in America. It really is a racist law. It's the same law that they kept black people slaves for years. And that they wouldn't want black people riding on a bus with white people. It's the same law. That's why they call it marijuana, by the way. It's a Mexican slang word for weed, for cannabis. And what we've done, we turned marijuana into a good word. But the original intent was to make everybody afraid of the brown people from the South coming up and getting their daughters high and becoming, you know, all that fear-mongering that is still going on today. It's still going on today. Like, there are articles in the New York or the Washington Post where the guy came out against the legalization because it was like just an excuse for teenagers to get high. Well, yeah, but it's much better than teenagers getting drunk, isn't it? It's much healthier. I mean, the booze makes you so stupid, you'll pick a fight with a football player, you know, for no reason, because you're high on booze. Potheads are very gentle, very gentle, very sweet people. And that's what we have to be in our life. So to get it legal is a lot harder than we could expect it, because we are so passive. I am passive. But we're going to do it. And the way we're going to do it is because we do have a black president in power now. And if we can't get it done with a brother in the White House, man, forget it. So what we all have to do, we have to set examples. I mean, personally, I set an example. Just by being healthy. And I tell kids this. They ask me, what do you tell kids? I tell kids, if you're going to smoke pot, make sure you get good grades in school. I've never heard a parent with a great, you know, with an honor student saying, oh, this kid's smoking too much pot. You know. Remember this. The computer industry was discovered by a pothead. Bill Gates obviously is a pothead. There's no doubt about it. We wouldn't have a computer industry if it wasn't for pot. We wouldn't have the kind of music that we got if it wasn't for pot. And we wouldn't have the
politicians, like Bill Clinton, for instance, if it wasn't for pot. And Barack Obama, you can tell a pothead. He's got timing. He knows what to say. He knows when to say it. So this is what we have to do. We have to really, and what I have to do personally, I have to show people that I'm 71 years old, and I still...
change and where we're going, you know, right now, you know?
I think people now are more open-minded than they were 15 years ago about, you know, what medical marijuana means, what marijuana, period, means and is to people. The type of, the difference between marijuana and heroin, marijuana and cocaine, marijuana and tobacco, marijuana and alcohol. We all know now, a lot of people know now, you know, that there's, you can't even compare it. You just can't. And I think, you know, the blanket that they tried to, you know, keep on the people by keeping them without this information, the blanket's been pulled by so many of us that people are open-minded. That's why you have more states that have rolled over into the decrim or medical marijuana legislation. You know, people are opening their eyes and opening their ears and minds. And you know, back in the day when we started and we were talking about it, it was just, the door was open and we opened it a little bit more. And the people themselves fucking kicked the door open from there. You know, and we got to continue to bring people through that fucking door, educate them, pass that information on, and let's get this shit legalized. Because it's, we can sit here and talk, but it's up to all of us to really get involved. You know, like Tommy said earlier, we're all stoners, very passive. We believe in something, but we ain't out there fucking marching for it. You know what I mean? But there's other ways we can do it, and it's all about getting involved, no matter how, what, you know, no matter how it is, to what degree, as long as you get involved and you pass that information on, because, you know, one person can educate another, they'll pass that information on as well. And we'll get this shit legalized. You know, within our lifetime, we'll see it. We've had medical marijuana legislation in California for 8 years now. I believe it's 8 years, seven, 8 years.
Since 1996.
Right? That's a long fucking time.
13.
Nobody thought it would last but maybe 2 years.
13 years?
Yeah.
13. That's a good number.
I'm sorry, I'm bad at math, but yeah, 13 years. That's the one part I didn't focus on in school when I was high. I'm sorry.
Well, the next step is to tax and regulate marijuana and make it legal for everybody.
My theory on that has always been is that the government knows that they would make so much revenue from it, every aspect of it. They don't know how to convince the conservatives and the religious right how to make that point to them to make it valid so that they can keep those votes. They're afraid of losing those fucking votes, so they don't want to take the chance. But the fucking writing's on the wall, basically. I mean, you got the president telling the feds not to bust the medical marijuana shops in California. I mean, fuck, what else do you need to see on the wall that, hey, we need to be legalized already and tax this shit and get our economy spiked up a little bit, right?
Blue Dog, you want to add? Blue Dog, anything about what's going on here in L.A. with the dispensaries and the issues around medical marijuana in the L.A. area?
I see a lot of change in a positive direction. I see a lot of people working together. I see a lot of people getting active. I see a lot of people dancing and having a good time. I think it's all a positive thing. So I'm seeing positive changes right now, today, here at the Smokeout. B, Tommy, it's all around, the chain reaction. I think it's a good thing. So let's keep it positive. Dance, party, have a good time.
I'm wearing a T-shirt. T-shirt now that says Free Mark Emery. Mark Emery is a guy in Canada that's being extradited from Canada to the United States to serve 5 years in jail for selling seeds on the internet. The Canadian government, in cahoots with Bush and the United States government, are extraditing Mark from Canada, which is the first time ever, you know. And the reason they're doing it is because the United States has signed a treaty with Canada and a lot of countries around the world saying that they would extradite drug smugglers. And Mark is facing, Mark owns the Cannabis Cafe in Vancouver, Canada. It's the only cafe where you can walk in and light up and have a meal and have a good time. And Mark Emery right now needs our support. He needs our letters. He needs our support. And there's a sign up here for cannabis. Here, you want to sign up to attack the cannabis thing. There are a lot of ways we can move on this. And this is the way we can physically do that. And by the way, I learned one thing while I was in jail, that if you write your representatives, they will read the letter. They will answer it. And if they get enough letters from us, they will change the law. Because you represent votes to these people. And the reason the other people don't, you know, that the lobbies are so strong is because just that, for that reason, they have professional lobbyists that go out and promote their causes. And we, as you know, as potheads, we have to get behind the petitions. We have to get behind the Mark Emery's. We have to stay behind these people. And the other thing, one more thing before I have to go, is that there's only one way that we have changed the culture. And that's with Be Real and Cypress Hill. They sold millions and millions of records about pot, the same as the Cottonmouth Kings. So the best way you can vote is by buying their product. Coming to my movie, buying their product. That vote, because that money that you put into our pockets creates events like this here. So we keep it within the culture and keep it real.
That's San Francisco
culture.
Hey, we're gonna take a couple of questions. Anybody wants to come up? I also want to say something about another hero of our movement, Jack Ferrer, who's an influence on everybody on this panel. Jack had a heart attack. He's recovering. Let's send him a lot of love. All right. Anybody want to ask a question? Here's your chance right now. Funny boy. I'm going to say what's up to my heroes right there up there. Be real. What's up, my nuggets? What's up, Tommy? You have a question, but lots of comments. Not only Mark Emery and everybody that's been locked up for marijuana, but please remember to free Eddie Lepp also, which is a very good friend of ours. Please free Eddie Lepp. And I'm hoping, AB, I'm hoping I get to play at the next smokeout. Marijuana's in the house, you know what we do.
That's right, look, marijuana's
in the Tom, right on. And everybody else who's involved with this shit, that's the shit. Yeah.
So, brother, what's up?
Well, I want to know, what do you guys need to tell the people who are here? Do you actually have licenses? And I want to know what the truth is to transporting marijuana when you have a license.
You guys know anything about transporting weed when you have a license, or will we cover that in the next panel?
All right.
The next panel, which is the legalization panel. Thank you.
Just be very careful.
That's cool. That's cool.
Thank you to every person that's out here, because it's because of you guys.
Texas, and it sucks over there. We don't got nothing legalized.
Well, you know, I think Obama has gotten a lot of letters from a lot of people by now, you know? There's a lot of people that within this movement, once he got elected, they were probably shoveling letters off to him. So it's a matter of time, man. But, you know, all these states have to roll over. The people have, basically, it has to come from the people. Like, the people in California, you know, we got together and got this legislation passed, you know, and fortunately enough people took the chance on it, you know, because being a stoner, you're paranoid. You think if you go put your name on the ballot, oh, they got my name, they're gonna come and get me, man. You know what I mean? But fuck it, you were born in America, you got a license, you got a birth certificate, a social security number, they got you from day one. Go fucking vote, no matter where you're at. You can get in Texas, get a movement together, and go, you know, go pass legislation down there. The people have to speak, you know, everywhere.
I appreciate all y'all, how you got this together. Hey, unity, it's all about unity. No haters, you know?
No haters.
I had a question for Tommy Chong, but first I wanted to say I'm happy that you said that, because a lot of people have a lot of shit to talk, but they're not registered to vote, and that's our voice. So we want to make sure we're registered. And Tommy, I just wanted to ask you, when you were locked up, what was the first thing you wanted to do when you get out? You had a lot of time to think.
The first thing I wanted to do when I got out? Well, I couldn't get high because I was on probation. So the first thing I did was get a Starbucks coffee. That was the thing that I was. And then I made love to my wife.
Gentlemen, Radical Russ from the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Question for all three of you. A Vegas bookie will give you 5-1 odds if you'll lay $10,000 on the exact year the first state fully legalizes pot. What would you bet on? What year?
What year? What year?
What year would pot become legal in the first state in the United States?
2013.
Say 2010.
Yeah. You got that?
Even better.
2009.
Yeah. No, Arnold Schwarzenegger and I smoked up one time.
That's true. He's got some other things.
And I have breakfast with him every once in a while, so I've been talking to him that I told Arnold, I said, hey, you got nothing to lose, man. You're not going to run again. So why don't you, as your last act in office, legalize this shit, you know? He can do it. I think he can do it.
Any other questions?
Hey, I'm Alex with the 2010 Tax and Regulate Candidates ballot. I'd like to know where all you stand on our ballot initiative and our efforts to legalize marijuana in California in 2010 and what you can do to help out, because we need all the help we can get right now to get this bill on the ballot and get this passed in 2010 to finally legalize marijuana in California for everyone.
Well, definitely a good step, you know, definitely a good move. The only problem you have with taxing pot is that it's not being taxed now. How the fuck do you tax a weed?
Treat it like alcohol.
You know? How do you do that? I don't know how you do that. Someone said, you can tax tomatoes. Do you tax tomatoes? I don't know. I think what happens is that if you leave the tax issue out of it and just legalize this shit, potheads are consumers anyway. So we you get your taxes when we buy shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Regulate? Do you agree? Do you agree with taxing and regulate, or like Tommy just says, just regulate, no taxing?
It's like I said, they can't figure out how to tax it. Right now, what they can do is tax the revenues that the medical marijuana clubs are making. That's about all they can do, because really they don't know what the growers are making. They can't regulate that. So, and again, they have to influence the right wing, the conservatives, and the religious right to come over and even bring that up as a subject to tax it completely, you know?
They'll lose votes. They don't know how to do it. You know, that's why they're letting us do what the fuck we're doing, because they're taxing the state for the money the state's making. Either way, they're making money off it, the feds. But they're not going to put their ass on the line yet. But what we can do is what we've been doing. Get it decriminalized right now in each state, and eventually it'll roll over and we'll get it legalized.
And you have to ask questions too. Like there are a lot of questions that are unanswered. When I was in prison, I was in a private prison owned by a company in Denmark. It's called Wackenhut. The federal prisons are privately run operations that are funded from the government. So there's a lot of incentive to keep people in jail and put people in jail because it's an industry. The prison guards union is the biggest union in California and the most powerful.
You're going to come out swinging against this.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of hanky-panky that's going along around in America right now that we are not aware of, you know, as you know, citizens. And if once you become aware of that, then you understand the way the system works. You see, a United States government right now was when Bush was in, was controlled by criminals. You know, look at what happened to the housing industry. It was criminals that caused all this shit. Thieves, you know, out and out thieves. And what they would do, they would use marijuana as a smokescreen to cover everybody's attention, get everybody's attention on the evil weed while they raped and pillaged the country. So keep that in mind. There's more to it than what meets the eye. And so what we have to do as I'll tell you one thing, if we don't get it legalized with this year, then what we should do, we should start boycotting shit. See what happens with Obama and Schwarzenegger, and we'll pay whatever tax we have to pay and sign here to regulate. But if that doesn't work, fuck it, man. The boycott thing. If there's 20 million potheads and we start boycotting companies like Kellogg's, for instance, we'll put a dent in their stock so bad that they'll sit up and fucking listen to us. That's for sure.
I'm telling you, I understand you guys are telling, so we're going to let B-Real go. Let's hear a big hand for B-Real. Big hand for Tommy Chong. Big hand for Lou Dog. The best panel ever. Come back in a few minutes. We'll be back with the Legal Station panel.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder that we'll go back to our regular daily audio stash rotation starting tomorrow, so be ready for more hemp headlines, your calendar updates, stash shoutouts, and of course, a daily toker tune. If you've got any suggestions or comments about the Daily Audio Stash, please send them my way at stash@normal.org. We're working to make this show the home for the cannabis community all throughout North America. Thanks for downloading the podcast, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.